banks, and numbers. Meanwhile, Huawei says it will slash numbers, the number of workers in America. It's the Business News Hour for Monday, the 15th day of July. Thanks, as always, for being here with us. Well, it seems that luxury is a luxury. Another retail story about that. Today is Prime Day, and it's also a day for work stoppages at some Amazon locations. Speaking of Amazon, we've got a story about the hidden costs of super fast delivery. Also, Congress is said to be weighing in on the tech companies and their plan to issue currency. Those stories and more, along with our Monday conversation with Laura Kennard about a host of things from the world of business, social media, and networking. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The Business News is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Business News Hour. Well, Citigroup led off this morning by reporting better-than-expected earnings per share. The result? Well, its stock went up in futures, but shortly after the markets opened, Citi saw its stock decline by as much as 1%. Citi is the first major bank to report earnings this week. J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo are all expected to report this week as well. The outlook for this earnings season is bleak, however. Analysts expect S&P 500 earnings to have fallen by 3% in the second quarter. This morning's moves come after the major indexes had a record-setting week, as Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell indicated during a congressional testimony that an interest rate cut could be on the horizon from the central bank. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal reported that Chinese telecommunications giant Huawei is planning to lay off hundreds of U.S. workers. A subsidiary of Huawei, which employs 850 people in research labs throughout the United States, including Texas, California, and Washington State, is said to be the target. A source familiar with the situation told the Journal that hundreds of people are expected to lose their jobs, although no exact figure was given. As you might remember, Huawei was added to the Commerce Department's entity list in May, which is seen as a death sentence for included groups, as U.S. companies are banned from doing business with them. The decision was made citing national security threats. The Commerce Department subsequently implemented a 90-day extension before Huawei could be added to the list to give U.S. companies time to adjust. Speaking of China, a report out today says that China's economic growth has slumped to its lowest level in nearly three decades as the world's second largest economy feels the effects of a prolonged trade war with the United States. According to government figures released today, the country's gross domestic product grew at 6.2% in the quarter, which ended in June. Now that is the slowest quarterly growth rate since 1992 and down from 6.4% in the previous quarter. While true, a growth rate of 6.2% is huge when it comes to the standards here in the United States, where growth ranges between 2 and 4%, it's still much lower than the massive growth numbers China has been posting in prior years. Rents in New York City are, in a word, high. Now, let's use two words, really high. And that's why luxury retailer Barneys New York is making preparations for a bankruptcy filing that could come as soon as this month. CNBC reported that people close to the situation say Barneys, which is facing a liquidity crunch spurred by a rent hike at its Manhattan flagship, has engaged law firm Kirkland & Ellis and financial advisors M3 Partners to assist with the potential preparations. The advisors are exploring a range of options that include bankruptcy, as well as ones that would help it avoid a bankruptcy filing, such as a sale or securing further financing. Barneys is just one of many department stores that's struggling as shoppers now buy online or from brands directly. Nordstrom is trading nearly $20 a share lower than a $50 a share buyout offer it rejected 2 years ago as too low. Saks owner Hudson's Bay Company is considering going private after its shares fell nearly 50% in the year through June. Shares of Macy's are down 40% through the past year. But what about that rent in New York City? Get this staggering bit of data. Rent at Barney's flagship on Madison Avenue, owned by Ashkenazi Acquisition Corporation, jumped from roughly $16 million a year to approximately $30 million a year in January. Ouch. Today is the kickoff day of Prime Day for Amazon. The company wants more of your hard-earned dollars. It's also a day some workers at Amazon are walking off the job. Not so much about money, but about working conditions. Employees at an Amazon fulfillment center in Shakopee, Minnesota, plan to walk off the job today during the last 3 hours of the day shift and the first 3 hours of the night shift. They say, although Amazon has raised hourly wages to between $16 and $20 an hour, more than double the federal minimum, the company sets unrealistic expectations and quotas. Meanwhile, pilots with Amazon Air will also demonstrate over what they say is low pay. They sent a pilot to Minnesota to support the protest there. But the protests are not only happening in the United States. Amazon workers in four additional countries are expected to protest against working conditions. 2,000 workers in Germany walked off the job, and Amazon workers in the UK, Spain, and Poland are all set to hold protests as well. Americans love the idea that they can sit on their phone or at their desktop, browse for stuff to buy, click, and have it delivered in two or sometimes just one day. It's kind of a race to see who can deliver what faster. Amazon is currently leading the pack with Walmart and Target not far behind. Fast, fast, fast. But there is a cost to all of this that nobody seems to want to talk about. The first seems to be the stress it has on the humans who are facing increased pressure to deliver everything more quickly. Today, that's represented in worker strikes at distribution centers in five countries for Amazon. The second is more subtle, and that's the impact on the environment. In theory, e-commerce can be greener than a bunch of shoppers making personal trips in their own cars, consolidating products and delivering them on one route to a bunch of homes does require fewer miles on the road. In a 2012 study, University of Washington professor Ann Goodchild found that grocery delivery can cut between 80 to 90% of carbon emissions compared to consumers going to pick up the items on their own. However, she says that calculus changes significantly if items coming from further away and have to be sent immediately creates fewer opportunities for lumping deliveries together. Goodchild says the efficiency and those benefits of delivery from consolidation and sharing a big vehicle are gone if we move away from that, and if we move towards basically paying somebody to make a trip for us. Many of those benefits are eroded. In 2017, UPS disclosed the e-commerce boom had decreased the number of packages it drops off per mile, leading to more trucks on the road and higher greenhouse gas emissions. It all boils down to inefficient trips, and that costs more money. If fast delivery is free, it's only because the retailer is subsidizing that delivery to fight for customers at a time of fierce competition and rapid growth. That means consumers, that would be you and me, we're not actually feeling the true cost, either environmentally, financially, or the stress on workers of getting e-commerce goods super quick. Well, there's a draft proposal in Congress that would limit the ability of big tech companies functioning as financial institutions or issuing digital currencies. In a sign of widening scrutiny after Facebook's proposed Libra digital coin aroused widespread objection, the bill proposes a fine of $1 million a day for violation of such rules. While the bill may not pass the House or Senate, it sends a strong message to large tech firms increasingly eyeing the financial services space. All right, don't go anywhere because you're just a click away from Laura Kennard. Laura is in from Drake University, DMAC, and she is the author of DMBizMixer.com. Stuff going on in the world of networking, business, social media, and reports about where you can go to learn more. All that's coming up next here on the Business News Hour.